You're listening to SBS News.
The number of vaccines administered to children is expected to top 500,000 in coming days. That includes 16.7% of children aged between 5 and 11 who became part of the national vaccine rollout last Monday. Supply issues have created some bottlenecks as parents try to get their children vaccinated before schools reopen. But another threat comes from within the government itself. Promoting his own podcast, Government MP George Christensen says children should not be vaccinated. Labor's health spokesman Mark Butler says the federal government made much of deporting unvaccinated tennis star Novak Djokovic, and there should be consequences for Mr. Christensen.
George Christensen is the chair of the very highly prestigious Trade and Investment Committee of the Parliament, a position that gives him substantial additional salary. This guy is not a fringe commentator. George Christensen is a menace to public health, a danger to the public health of our children, no less, and there should be no place for him in the government party room. What happened to Scott Morrison's claim that there was one rule for everyone?
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has condemned what he called Mr. Christensen's dangerous messages on child vaccination and says people should not listen to him.
He's not a candidate for the government at the next election. And George has been putting these views now for some time. I'm not seeking to amplify them. In fact, I don't think anyone should be paying attention to him on this issue at all. And anyone who was also pushing those views. But it's a free country. People are allowed to say what they think. You know, we don't have to listen to them and we don't have to amplify their views. I think they're unwise views. I think they're dangerous views. I don't think parents should be listening to them. Go to the credible sources of information on vaccines, and George Christensen is not one of them.
He says Mr. Christensen's role on the Joint Committee for Investment and Trade is under review, but the MP will remain in the party. Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Paul Kelly, urged parents to listen to the experts, such as the State Chief Medical Officers and the government's vaccine expert panel, ATAGI.
We are of one voice. It is very important for children now down to the age of five to be vaccinated. And so please go ahead with that and listen to the experts.
And in a sign of how sought after rapid antigen tests have become amid the nationwide shortage, some 42,000 RAT tests worth more than $500,000 have been stolen from a depot in Sydney. New South Wales police were called after a man entered the freight depot in Mascot on Tuesday afternoon when he took possession of the tests. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet says the individual will be punished.
At a time when everyone across our state has made incredible efforts in keeping people safe, in making sacrifices, what a disgraceful act. And the police will catch you.
The supply of rapid antigen tests is expected to be on the agenda at Thursday's National Cabinet meeting. Mr. Morrison says criticism of the federal government's handling of supply is unjustified.
What has changed is the level of demand, and that happened because of Omicron. So I understand that those rapid antigen test shortages have been a great frustration, but a lot of these comments are made with hindsight, not foresight.
Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says she'll be attending the meeting and pushing for the local manufacture of the tests.
If you think about it, we have capacity here in this country to actually manufacture these RAT tests. So, you know, I think it's we need to ask these companies to put forward their approvals and get them done quickly, because rather than searching the world to get them, we could actually be producing them here locally.
State leaders have moved to speed up the booster vaccine rollout, with the wait time after the second shot now reduced to 3 months in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia and the ACT. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews says the measure comes into immediate effect.
This weekend we will have a booster blitz. A number of our state hubs will be open longer hours. Also, there'll be a number of state hub sites where you won't need an appointment. You'll be able to walk up. So more appointments, there's plenty of vaccine, and whilst we're starting to see some stability to these case numbers, I think we all know that there are more cases out there than are being reported.
The state on Monday declared a code brown emergency for Victorian hospitals to help with the staff shortages due to the high numbers of staff who have COVID or are a close contact. The status allows non-urgent services to be deferred and workers could be asked to cancel their upcoming leave. Mr. Andrews says reinforcements will also be brought in, with an initial 20 Australian Defence Force personnel assisting Victorian ambulance crews.
ADF personnel who, just like we very successfully did, I think in 20 and in 21, working together as a blended crew so that the paramedic can provide the care and the ADF person who's trained to assist where appropriate, but principally to do the driving. That just means there are many shifts that'll get filled that wouldn't otherwise get filled. It just means many, many patients will get the care that they need as fast as possible.
In the Northern Territory, Aboriginal Health Services are calling for more federal government support to help remote communities respond to the rise in COVID cases. There are now 4,065 infections in the Territory. John Patterson, spokesman for the Aboriginal Peak Organisation's Northern Territory, told NITV News health workers are being overwhelmed by the demand for their services.
What we're experiencing and seeing, not just here in the Northern Territory, but nationwide, is COVID just spreading like wildfire now. And we predicted this. Once the borders were lifted and opened up, our workforce capacity is stretched to the max. We don't have the rapid antigen tests, the PPE equipment for our frontline workers that have to go out and deal with these breakout in COVID in remote communities.
He says a surge workforce of health workers is needed, along with more personal protective equipment and rapid antigen tests. And he wants the federal government to set up regional isolation facilities to stop the spread of the virus in overcrowded homes in remote communities.
This living with COVID and COVID at home, it just isn't suited for our discrete Aboriginal communities. When you've got all those underlying social determinants issues around overcrowded housing, food security, transport, access to other facilities that other Australians take for granted. For those that need acute ongoing care, we need to get them into the quarantine centres in Darwin and Alice Springs and the hospital if that's required. But the others, where it's overcrowded situations, we need to offer other options, and those other options is building temporary facilities in the Barkly, the Katherine region and Nhulunbuy.
Meanwhile, the federal government says it hopes backpackers and international students can also fill workforce shortages. The $630 visa application fee will be rebated by the Department of Home Affairs for international students who arrive in Australia in the next 8 weeks. And for backpackers on working holiday maker visas who arrive within the next 12 weeks. Mr. Morrison says the measure is aimed at 150,000 international students and 23,500 backpackers who have an Australian visa and are not yet in the country.
And my message to them is, come on down. Come on down now, because you wanted to come to Australia, you've got your visa, we want you to come to Australia and enjoy a holiday here in Australia, move all the way around the country, and at the same time, join our workforce and help us in our agricultural sector and our hospitality sector and so many of the other parts of the economy that rely on that labour, that workforce right now.
The scheme is expected to cost $55 million. The Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry has welcomed the measure, saying it's much-needed relief for businesses confronting the worst labour and skill shortages in more than three decades. The group's tourism chair, John Hart, says he'd like to see the measure extended to foreign tourists and business travellers. Meanwhile, Queensland says quarantine-free international travel into the state will be possible from this weekend. From 1 a.m. Saturday, double-dose vaccinated international travellers can enter Queensland without needing to quarantine, as long as they get a negative RAT test within 24 hours of arrival. Premier Palaszczuk says she's confident the state's COVID case numbers can be contained, with a double-dose vaccination rate set to soon reach 90% for those aged 16 years and over.
We do believe that now is the right time with our vaccination rates so high, 88.82. We want to give some certainty to the industry and certainty for people who are travelling.
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.